Welcome to A Woman in a Man's World. I'm your host, Lauren Payton, and each episode I talk to women working in a host of different industries that all have one thing in common. They're primarily dominated by men. These inspirational women are sharing their experiences, advice, and stories as we try to answer the question, are we really living in a man's world? I'm the founder of female leadership consultancy Scout & Circle, and I'm passionately committed to improving the gender gap in the workplace and entrepreneurship, because now, more than ever, the world needs more women being seen and heard in the rooms where important decisions are being made. I'm a firm believer that you can't be what you can't see, so I want to create a space for women to learn from one another's experiences so they can thrive in the current world as we're trying to change it. Hello, hello. Welcome to this week's episode of A Woman in a Man's World. I wanted to do a solo episode this time to talk about networking. So the previous episode, if you haven't listened, I suggest you do. But I was speaking to Isabel Sack and we talked about the importance of networking, particularly for communities who haven't necessarily had it as something that's easily accessible to them. And I wanted to give some really specific tools and tips, I think, to help with approaching networking, but also want to talk about really specifically why it's so important, I think, for women to start thinking about networking and start thinking about how they build that. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. So I want to see if I can get you from, if you've got a bit of resistance to networking and feeling like it's maybe not something for you, I want you to really be at a point where you can understand the importance of it and feel like it's something you can start to explore, feel a bit more comfortable. There's a lot of reasons why I hear women say that they find it hard. And there are also reasons why I have found it hard. So I'll talk about my experience in a minute. But, you know, I hear a lot of things about can feel really awkward, that thought of going into a room with loads of people that you don't know. And you've got that like standing around, looking at your phone, kind of staring awkwardly, hoping that somebody talks to you, kind of feeling can sometimes feel quite uncomfortable. Sometimes also there's a worry that it can be quite salesy. Or perhaps also cliquey. If everybody knows everyone and you don't, it can sometimes feel like you're kind of invited to a party where everyone's friends and you've got no idea who anyone is. Sometimes also what I hear is that networks can be really industry centric. So we end up with lots and lots of people who are from one specific industry, all kind of orbiting one another. And you can sometimes end up with this little bit of a bubble. And that's not always necessarily appealing if you're wanting to explore more conversations, to hear more perspectives and that kind of thing. They can also feel a little bit like work. And, you know, when we are thinking about particularly how we want to engage in our time outside of our typical work day, then to start thinking about going to something that might feel like work networking just really extends what the day looks like. And they don't necessarily feel like something that we want to do with our spare time. I think there's also something really important in the narrative that there is about women all being together, as there's sometimes this view that women all together is a bad thing, that, you know, women together are bitchy or exclusive or talking about one another behind one another's backs, not supporting one another, that kind of thing. And look, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but I do think that this kind of dialogue has created a way of discouraging women from being together in a group. Because the reality is we're actually really bloody powerful when we come together. So there is benefit to the systems that want to oppress us in keeping us from coming together and forming these groups. So I'll talk a bit about my experience because I think that's important here because I'm not a natural networker. I never have been. Even as a person who's relatively extroverted, I always feel shy and have often felt incredibly shy in environments where I don't know people or I don't know many people. I think particularly when I'm in environments with people who I deem as perhaps being more successful or having more experience or having more knowledge, have in the past found myself kind of shrinking away and not really knowing how to tackle it. I have been to multiple networking events and experiences where I've seen the people who go up and introduce themselves and say hello to random strangers and start a conversation. And that has never been something that I have felt was accessible for me. I've often felt very, very uncomfortable. I've also been in situations where I felt like, even if it's not true, I felt like everyone knows each other and they're all already kind of friends. And, you know, it brings back all of those old, like, new girl in a new school kind of feelings that I had. So there's been a lot of stuff that I've found quite challenging about it. And then when I started my business, it was something that I really very much felt and was told like I had to do. It was really important. And going into those environments and not really approaching it in a way that I think was the right perspective. And I wasn't really bringing kind of, I think, the right energy to it. It meant that all of those things were even more heightened. And then I also had experiences where, which I have talked about on the podcast before, where, you know, I have been mansplained to really in such a cliched fashion. You would believe I, you know, was hit on at one of the first events that I went to when I started my business. And it just made me like feel really uncomfortable. Like it wasn't a space that I wanted to be in. Now, before I was working for myself, I didn't really care for my network in the same way. And that wasn't for lack of it being something that I recognized as important. Because actually, you know, my dad had a very, very, very strong network through work. He had a kind of little black book of contacts. I mean, he's a boomer dad, so you can imagine. But that was something that was incredibly valuable for him, incredibly powerful in terms of his business connections, in terms of his network, in terms of new roles that he got throughout his career. And even though I came from an environment where it was something that was recognized as being powerful, not something that I really cultivated and spent very much time on until I started working for myself. Part of that was a lot of these reasons I've talked about. I also felt like perhaps it was a bit cringy. Like I was maybe going to be annoying people if I wanted to connect with them and, you know, build relationships. I often found also that I was in situations where people really just wanted to sell me things. You know, the more senior that I got, the more I was responsible for, the more people wanted to come and, you know, kind of take. So that's been my experience of it. It's been a very mixed bag. And as I've worked on the things that really have benefited me from a networking perspective, I have got much more support. I've got kindness. I've got shared experiences. I've had introductions both to support me with my business, to support me with other things I need. I've been able to facilitate introductions for people. I've had people just support me, having people who know and understand what it's like to run a business, to be doing the work that I'm doing, to be in the space that I'm in. And sometimes it's just actually making a new friend and meeting somebody who seems like they're really nice and that you'd have something to talk about. So it has been really valuable for a lot of really lovely reasons. I also want to talk about why I think it's so important for some bigger reasons than that as well. So the nature of the world as it currently is that as women get more and more senior, the chances are, not always the case, but the chances are that the more senior you get, the more likely it is that you're going to be in a space where you're outnumbered by men. So there are just often fewer of us at senior levels in organizations, in senior management levels and so on. And what that means is within our immediate environment, our immediate peer group, we don't have that same community and same support as men do. And as perhaps we might have had when we were at a more junior level in our careers. What this then contributes to is when we're finding things challenging, and that might be challenges with our confidence, challenges with the environment or the culture that we're in, how we're being spoken to, how we feel about our visibility, how we feel about how well we can speak up and show up, whatever it might be, we then can feel like what's happening is just happening to us because we don't have that same infrastructure. We don't have that same community around us to share. And this is something that I hear a lot with the women that I speak to, with the women that I work with, is this sense of it's just me and I'm alone in this. I don't have anyone else that I see experiencing this. So it must just be me. And the reality is that's not the case. And having a network, having a community is incredibly important for simply just sharing our experiences, sharing our stories, hearing from one another in terms of what we're going through. What we also then can need from that is some help, is some support. You know, whether that's somebody else sharing the experience that they've had and how they navigated it, somebody giving advice, being able to meet someone who's got expertise in a particular area that might be able to support you. Then it comes down to things like, actually, if we're starting to think about a new role, if we're looking to make a move somewhere, how can we have a community and a network that we can leverage? Because that's where introductions for new roles, that kind of thing, it becomes so much more important the more and more senior that we become. It's also a really great space to be getting access to mentoring, to be getting support, to be getting advice. It's a really, really important aspect, I think, of women's ability to succeed in the same way as men can. It's not something I think that we have been encouraged and supported in the same way. And I was talking to someone about this recently, and she said, well, I don't know that men are really supported in having networks and communities. And that perhaps is true. But I also think that men simply have them more accessibly. And coming back to the early point about women in groups, I think women are discouraged from having groups of women around them in a way that men are not discouraged from. You know, we don't talk about a group of men in the same way as we would talk about a group of women. And I know well enough from my own and from my clients and from my friends and my community's experiences that groups of men, when you are the only women, can also be incredibly challenging. So there's something to this, the way that we've been put off. And it might not necessarily be that men have been encouraged actively, but it's much easier for them to get these communities. It's much easier for them to access these groups of people, these groups of men, who will be able to support them, who will give them the contacts, who will help them with an introduction, who will help them with a new job, and so on and so forth. So if you've had a bit of a feeling of, it's not really for me, and I'm not really sure how I would go about doing it, I want to just give you some tips, some things that have helped me. Some of these are things that Isabel talked about in the previous episode as well. I just want to give a little bit more detail than we had time to go through last time. And I want to give you some ways of thinking about it that will hopefully help you feel a little bit more straightforward. So the first thing is to see it as an opportunity to give first and foremost. So rather than this being, how can I use networking to help me? How can I use networking to help others? And just starting from that different perspective makes it, certainly from a mindset perspective, I think makes it easier to go into these spaces because you're going in with an energy of generosity, an energy of giving. But I also think it's a much more positive way to go into a space. And if we are still, it's still okay to have a goal, absolutely fine to have a goal that suits you and that supports you with your career, with your business, whatever it might be. But I think if you're able to go in and think about, well, how could I support people in this space? Who could I introduce them to? How could I help them? What advice could I give? Then we get that reciprocity and people are far more likely to give once they have received something. So starting just from that energy is really good. I think it makes it easier, but it also makes it work more effectively. So think about what you can bring to people. What do you know? Who do you know? How can you support them? One thing I also find really helpful is just seeing it as a way to, how can I get to know people? How can I make a new friend? And, you know, friend can be quite a loose term. This doesn't have to be somebody who becomes like your best pal that you hang out with every week or anything like that. But how can I just form a meaningful connection with somebody? How can I be interested in a new person rather than, again, I've got to make a contact? It's like, how can I make a friend? That's something that I find really helps me. And it might mean that actually I talk to fewer people, but I'm much more interested in how could I form a better connection with someone I can share things with, who I can get along with, who I'm really, really interested in them, they're interested in me, and so on. Also think, you don't have to see networking community building as something where you go into a space, be it virtual or in person, where it's you and lots of other people. You know, you could do this one-on-one. You can start to build your network just by having coffees, do emails, have an initial contact with one individual person on LinkedIn, whatever it might be. You see this as you can just keep it as a really intimate space if that's something that you're more comfortable with. Also, don't think that it necessarily needs to be something which is taking a lot of your time, you know, but I think it's also important that you're still nurturing that community, that network built up. So are you checking with people? Are you sending messages just to say hi, just to see if anyone needs any support? You know, how do you get in touch with people on a regular basis without it becoming a really big chore? I think if you're going to be doing something where you're going to an event and you're going to be doing something in person, if it's possible, then find out who's going to be there first. See, are there any particular people that you'd be interested in talking to? And that means you have a slightly less, you feel slightly less like you're kind of a rabbit caught in headlights. If you know, actually, I'd really love to meet this person. I'd really love to know this thing about them. To hear some things that might be helpful that I could support them with. And think about how you would approach a conversation. Like, it's really useful to prepare a little bit in advance, have a little bit of an idea of like what you would want to say, how you might want to interact with someone, what you want to say about yourself. You know, sure, yes, have your elevator pitch, but also just what are your opening questions? What are the things that you're really interested in knowing about somebody? And preparation can be really useful for just dealing with a little bit of the anxiety that can come with it. But that being said, what's really crucial to remember is that no one is thinking about you as much as you. No one is. And no one is paying attention to you as much as you think that they are. You know, people are much more likely to be thinking about themselves and how they're feeling. And if they're feeling like they don't know anyone and they're sort of in the corner on their phone, they're probably much more likely to be feeling awkward about that than noticing that you are feeling awkward. So that's something just is really important to keep in mind as well. Like, no one, honestly, in the nicest of ways, no one cares about you in the same way as you do. And use that then as an opportunity to approach other people. If you think that somebody might be in the same boat, that's a really great way to start a conversation, is to say, hi, oh, do you know anyone here? I don't know anyone either. And then that starts up a conversation. You know, like, again, approaching it with the reciprocity rather than, oh God, I hope that somebody comes and talks to me. I don't know anyone. If you can see the opportunity to go and strike up a conversation with somebody who might be feeling a little bit lonely, then that's a really great way to start by giving, first and foremost. And thinking about, you know, how can you facilitate more introductions? How can you introduce someone to someone else? Be that, you know, within a room or just overall within your network. You know, how can you introduce people to one another? That's something that I offer a lot within my network. I'm really happy to make introductions if I think that it's something that's valuable. And that is another way of ensuring that you're approaching it with this giving first mentality. So, you know, it's just about seeing it more, I think, as something you can use to help support other people, support other women, to be curious, to learn, to make new friends, rather than it necessarily having to be specifically about, I've got to make connections, I've got to do this and the other, and I need to get something from it. The more you approach it in that first way, the more helpful that it will be in the long term. So I would love to know how this lands for you. And hopefully this helps a little bit in terms of just thinking about the ways that you can approach it differently if it's something that you have felt a little bit perhaps hesitant over in the past. I definitely do recommend it. I think the most important thing is finding a space that works for you. They're all different. And, you know, some spaces are going to be ones that we really connect with and some of them aren't. And honestly, that's okay. If you feel like a space isn't one that is right for you, then look around, get recommendations, find one that is. Okay. That's it for me. Thank you so much, and I will be back soon. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to get in touch, whether that's to send feedback, ask a question, propose a guest, or
just to send some love notes, which are always appreciated, send an email to womensworldpod@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this episode and feel like writing a review on Spotify or wherever you listen, that is going to be great for your partner.